You said that karma returns to the doer in the same strength it was sent out. You also said that a thought impulse decreases in intensity as it goes out into space. How do these two statements correlate with each other?
A strong impulse from this wall returns to us as a strong reaction. Faint impulse reaching the moon, by the time it reaches the moon, it becomes faint. So that faint is the effect there, and that faint will be the reaction to us. So it's all right. The answer is that the reaction from near surroundings is more powerful, because whatever sound you are producing, one word spoken, when the effect returns from this near wall, it returns having that strength with which it struck the wall. Because the wall is very near, the striking has been very powerful, so the return will be of the same strength.
That you sent it out?
Not I sent it out. That the wall received, the action on the wall will be the reaction, will produce the reaction of equal intensity.
Then the thoughts you send 10 million light years away come back very weak.
Because they strike against that level of creation very weak. By the time they reach there, they are millionth of time reduced, and the return will be to that strength.
Then how can you say that karma comes back to you in the same, maybe I misunderstood your statement, karma comes back to you in the same strength that you send it out? That's not true then.
The collective influence will be the same, but little by little we keep on receiving day after day and year after year, and the total will be the same. Total will be the same. The totality of it will have the same effect. It can't be that we produce 1 gram and then we have to bear millions of grams.
Bounded.
Very much bounded. Bounded. We say unbounded universe in the sense, not in the sense of eternity, unboundedness, but that it is very, very vast. The same that pervades the universe lies beyond the boundaries of the universe. The same thing. Being, unmanifest being, eternal, non-changing, imperishable, absolute, absolute life. And it is said that the universe is Just to give an idea of it, the universe, the concrete manifest universe, is in the 1/4 area of the unbounded, absolute, unmanifest. On 1/4 area this hangs like a ball here. The big area is yet unmanifest. So not the whole of the unlimited absolute is inhabited by the manifest universe. Not the whole of it, but 1/4 of it. We don't mean to limit the unlimited absolute by saying it is 4 times the manifest universe. It'll be but just to have an idea that much more of pure absolute extends beyond this manifested universe.
How could the absolute be absolute if it has a nature? Should it not have an infinite variety of natures, producing an infinite variety of relative creations? If this is so, is it possible to enter the absolute from one relative creation and emerge into another based on a different nature of the absolute? If all this is possible, could evolution be continued through an infinite variety of relative creations?
It's a very intelligent question, and the situation is just what is contained in the question. The situation is that the Absolute has a variety of natures in its manifested area. That's how many, many things keep on coming. But as we arrive at the borderline of manifestation, the nature is one. And what is that? The nature of the Absolute is described in human terms in order that everyone would understand it. The nature of the Absolute is, I am alone, may I be many. This is the nature. A desire inherited deep within the heart of the Absolute, and the desire comes, I am alone, may I be many. As if one gets tired of the loneliness and wants to be many. This one desire then springs into many shapes and forms of the whole variety of creation. So all the variety of creation means different tendencies, and all these tendencies spring from the one fountainhead of that desire of the Absolute. I am alone, may I be many. The desire to manifest, just this desire to manifest. And because manifestation and then the coming back to the Absolute and then manifestation and then coming, this keeps on happening time after time in the eternity. This tendency of manifesting is said to be the very nature of the Absolute. In order to understand, it is said to belong to the Absolute. It is the nature of the Absolute. Now, the nature of a doctor, doctoree, is not different from him. Just as doctoree and doctor cannot be separated, so the nature of the Absolute and the Absolute cannot be separated. They are the same thing. Absolute is absolute, and then the basis of relative. Once it is the basis of relative, the relative springs out of that. Doctor and doctree, like doctor and doctree, they can't be separated. So the nature and Absolute, they can't be separated. One is in the other. One is on the basis of the other. Doctree is in the doctor. Doctor is in the doctree. If there is no doctree, there is no doctor. If there is no doctor, there is no doctree. So the nature is an inherent, inseparable quality. So the nature of the Absolute is inseparable tendency of the Absolute, nature of the Absolute.
That was my question, and maybe I didn't express it the way I wanted to, or maybe you didn't understand it.
It would be good to have a second answer.
Right. What I meant was this. You said that when you were talking about creation a few days ago, you said you start with the Absolute with the nature of the Absolute. Then come the three gunas, then come ego, intellect, mind, senses, all that with the prana, breath principle,
right.
Then the five elements of objective reality and so forth.
Very okay. Good.
So this nature of the Absolute that the Absolute is sitting with includes ego, intellect, and all these things, and finally an objective reality based on time and space.
Right.
Now what I was getting at was, here we have the nature of the Absolute that can be told in words, and we can say it has time and it has space. And what seemed to me, if it's Absolute, there should be an infinite number of ways of ordering the relative existence. There should be an infinite number of ways besides time and space, and besides minds and senses and beings going through this sort of evolution. Now, I mean, if all this is true, probably you wouldn't know it because you're stuck in the in a relationship.
No. We can intellectually conceive and directly experience both. Because all the variety initially springs from there.
Yeah, but all the variety is based on time and space, isn't it?
Right.
Okay, I'm talking about variety is not based on time and space. I can't conceive of any, but I can conceive of there being creations not based on time and space. And it would seem to me that if the Absolute is really Absolute, there would have to be an infinite number of basic natures to relative existences.
And relative existences have their own basic natures, no? Wood has its basic nature, water has its basic nature, no? Basic. Each man is basically different than animals and then multiple variety. Each is different. Just as all these different things in a tree come out of the same one thing, sap.
Right. I mean, I dig all this, but there's some certain things in common with all the parts of the tree, with all the individuals in existence. There's certain basic laws that they all have to adhere to, and they're stuck in time and space as the way of ordering the infinite.
And then the time and space is stuck in the tendencies of the three gunas. Time and space is not absolute. That also has its basis in the start of creation.
Okay, are there other ways of ordering infinity, of ordering the Absolute, that are also stuck in the three gunas? Or maybe if the three gunas are part of this way of ordering the Absolute, are there other ways of ordering it that go into it maybe from
whatever,
another side or something?
From whatever way we order, but the impulse has to reach the three gunas and transcend it. Then we have hit the bell of the Absolute. Transcend three gunas. And that's how we strike against the Absolute. So, from whatever numberless ways, numberless directions we hit, we have to come to the one level of the three gunas, and from there we go beyond. From anywhere we can hit. That means there are the five roads of five senses. Millions of objects of each sense. So from any object of any sense we start experiencing gross, start experiencing subtle, subtlest, three gunas, transcend being. So from whatever area, innumerable ways we can shoot the Absolute. From innumerable directions. But the bullet has to pass through the three gunas.
Okay, let me try once more to ask this question. I guess I'm not expressing what I really mean.
Right.
I
the tape is tired. Enjoying?
Use two analogies to try to make my point, and then...
Right.
Okay?
Right.
First analogy is, in this particular relative existence that we're involved in, you have a light, that's the absolute, okay? And then you have a number of lenses through which the light shines. Those are individualities. And the whole business is involved in the conduction of light away from the absolute out into this dispersal of some sort. Okay, now, that's our relative existence. Now imagine the absolute as a jewel with many faces. And all of the lenses of all the of all the individualities in this universe that we know are all contained on one face, and the nature of that face is the three gunas. Now, could there be other relative existences which conduct the energy away from other faces where the nature of those faces are not the three gunas? Now, the other way of expressing the same question is like this. If you have a line is infinite and is composed of an infinite number of points. Okay? Now, if the whole line is the absolute, and one way of ordering the absolute is one point, okay? And that's, one point is time and space. And so there could be an infinite number of other points. No.
If the line is absolute, then the line being constituted of points, those points in themselves are absolute, not time and space, not three gunas. Because the whole line is absolute, so each point is an absolute, 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 absolute.
Okay, what about... I'm beginning, your answer is beginning to seep into me through the whole thing of communication difficulties here. I'm beginning to sort of get an idea, but what about the thing with the many-faceted jewel?
The thing is, the surface of the absolute, maybe this flat and 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 this flat. Surface of the absolute from where different lights may be projected. This face shows off green and this red and this is something. But the surface from where projections start is all that three gunas, which is the first manifestation of the absolute. This. Or the finest point of relativity. It's from the finest point that, if we want to say that absolute manifests. So they are, even though the phases may be in different directions, multi-directional, infinitely multi-directional absolute has to project itself from only the subtlest phase of relative existence. Subtlest phase of relative existence. So from wherever the projection starts, it is three gunas.
What you're talking about now is what I meant by the many lenses coming out of the one face.
Right.
If we want to enter the absolute, since we're in this universe, we have to go through the three gunas.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, I mean, we could not possibly experience any other thing at the subtlest level. But does this rule out that there are other relative existences based on different natures at the subtlest level, which we cannot experience before?
We may not be able to experience, but whatever is the life at subtlest level of creation, it has to emerge from that three gunas. Because just for the simple reason Just for the simple reason that the three gunas are the first manifestation or the finest relative creation. That is the layer from which the relativity begins.
Is it possible there's another universe not organized along the principles of space and time?
Universe. Maybe many areas in the universe which are systematically disorganized. Systematic. If there is a disorder, when the earthquake comes, the whole thing becomes a disorder. But it's a system through which the earthquakes come. So, the universe is such a vast variety. We can very well conceive of some areas in the universe which are absolutely chaotic. But in a very, very systematic way, the whole chaos will go on generation after generation.
There is chaos. Like we're stuck with space and time for seconds. If we look at these other areas, they would appear chaotic to us.
Maybe,
we're
yeah.
Stuck with some other kind of perception. And if they look at our area of the universe,
right.
But below all of this is a freedom.
And a very orderly nature of the Absolute. Order. Our vision may be faulty, but the system of the cosmic intelligence is very, very orderly.
Hey, one last aspect to this question, and I'll sit down. You talked in this story of the man who made the coconuts. I've been investigating like other people who claim to know the absolute truth, and there are a lot of different ways of talking about it than you've been talking about it. And one of the ideas that I picked up is like when God starts out to create the universe, he creates all these individualities out of himself. And then they all evolve to the point where they can create an infinite number of individualities out of themselves. And it goes on and on and on and on forever. And connected with this is, there comes a point when God turns loose all of his children to be adults, just like himself. Now, if this is true, was the man who created the coconuts a child of God who was turned loose? And when we attain supreme knowledge, can we get turned loose and go off and create something chaotic?
When we gain supreme knowledge, then we gain that very great and infinite ability of orderly thinking and orderly doing, because then we are really in tune with that cosmic intelligence. Then whatever we will do will be in accordance with the whole scheme of the universe. That means evolution, 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 evolution. So it's not possible for us in that state to be rebellious against the enormous plan of cosmic intelligence. Then we begin to enjoy that, like that, like that, like that.
Are you talking about rebellious against the three gunas or rebellious against time and space? And if you can't be rebellious, how did the man ever make the coconuts? Or is it just a story? I mean, your stories usually contain some truth in them, I think.
It is to illustrate how greatly a man can improve his creative intelligence. But this creative intelligence is by coming in tune with that infinite creative intelligence of the Creator. Yeah.
Okay, are you talking now about coming in tune with the three gunas or coming in tune with time and space?
Neither coming in tune with the three gunas nor coming in tune with time and space, but coming in tune with that which is the basis of the three gunas, beyond the three gunas, of transcendental nature, absolute, eternal, infinite, imperishable being.
Okay, now we've agreed that there are different areas of the absolute, ordered in different ways, and these other areas would appear chaotic to us, and the individuals or whatever exists in those places, we would appear chaotic to them. Now, is there something like a personal God, which is the creator of each of these areas, creator of order, or creator of the relative in each of these areas, sort of acting as channeling of the absolute? And if this is so, how are these personal gods created?
The personal gods also are created in the same pattern as any other layer of creation. In the same way they are also created. There is a proverb, history repeats itself. There is creation, the whole field of creation. On the subtlest layer, gods, and then the angels and man, and then the angel, the creation becomes static. So from inertia to maximum intelligence, this is the range of creation. The extreme limit of creation is all inertia, devoid of intellect, energy, happiness. Finest layer of creation is all great happiness, great intelligence, great energy. This. And the whole setup of creation is rooted in the nature of the Absolute, just the nature. Veda means jnana. Jnana means knowledge. Knowledge of the whole life. Creation and uncreated, unmanifest absolute. The whole thing. This knowledge is eternal. According to the knowledge, creation starts. Not that the creation starts and the knowledge is gained. According to the knowledge, creation starts every time. All the gods are bound in time and space. For their nature they are bound. Man is bound in time and space. For his nature he is bound. Animals, birds, insects, creatures bound in their nature. They are bound in time and space. And the whole creation comes out and goes out and comes. Just as man has his jurisdiction. He has made boundaries. This is my country, this is my land, this is my house, this is my kitchen, this various areas he starts to possess. Like that, gods also have their own areas. Animals also have their own areas. They start possessing their areas. So each creature has his own area of influence. So do these angels, these gods.
Is there some being whose area of influence is this section of the Absolute that's ordered by time and space, and then are the other areas of the Absolute that are ordered on different in different ways? Is there some being whose area of influence is that? And
beings are in time and space, and all their different areas of influence is in time and space. Maybe that time and space is in heaven, or in Mars, or in moon, or somewhere.
Yourself. What about these areas that we would think chaotic?
That I said, because there is such great variety in creation, we could take it for granted that there would be some systematic, chaotic life somewhere.
But it would still be within time and space.
Of course, yes. The whole life is all manifested. Universe is in time and space. And we are talking here of that which lies beyond.